But Ray Thomas joining me now, racing editor, Daily Telegraph. Morning, Ray.
Yeah, good morning, Sean. Good morning, everyone.
I mentioned Adam Hieronymus. He's having a terrific run at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah, look, he rode that horse, beats him particularly well, didn't he, on Saturday? And good to see. Doesn't get a lot of opportunities, Sean, on Saturday meetings, but when he does, he invariably makes every post a winner, and he did so on that horse. Look, the Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Botts, they will have a pretty fair opinion of. I know he can get carried away with midwinter form, but he's a tough on-speed horse, makes his own luck, can sustain this high cruising speed. And, look, they're talking, albeit quietly, about potentially going towards a race like the Cameron to see if he can measure up to an Epsom as a lightweight chance. Look, I know it's a long, long way away from a midwinter Warwick Farm Saturday meeting to an Epsom on September 30, but he's a progressive horse, and that was a pretty impressive win, Sean.
Well, ironically, I think the first time when he started at Wyong after a let-up, I remember we got a call to say this is the way his name was pronounced, and when people do that, you think they got an opinion of the horse, and he got the money that day.
Yeah, did I pronounce it right, Sean? No, I beat him.
Yeah.
I hope I did.
I think that's
it. Yeah. Well, no, I was speaking to Dean Watt, and Dean Watt, the syndicator from Dynamic, who race beats him, do believe this is the best horse they've had for quite a while. And, of course, Dynamic syndication has had a lot of good horses over the years, so that speaks volume for his potential. And just the way he went about his business on a Saturday, Sean suggests he is a horse who can go right on with it from here.
He's a Schnitzel, and Schnitzel's had an unbelievable season. They just keep winning.
Yeah, their two-year-old's right through. He's a phenomenal stallion, isn't he, Schnitzel? And Arrowfield seemed to have that knack of just finding stallion after stallion. He's a son of Reduce Choice, and he'll win the general size premiership, just emulating his dad. He's won it three or four times, and he, of course, has set a new record for most individual two-year-old winners this season. He's had a phenomenal season. You're right, Sean.
He beat Aquatic, who's by Beneteau, and I tell you what, if you look at Beneteau's success at stud too, he's got a terrific strike rate.
Yeah, sad that we lost him so early, wasn't it? Because he would have been a tremendous stallion. It often happens. I think a Northern Meteor as well.
His first
three or four crops were outstanding. So many winners to runners, just like Beneteau. And
stakes winners and stakes place getters too. It was a tragedy.
Exactly. They were tremendous. And both, you know, obviously would have left an indelible imprint if they had chances to embellish their stud careers. But even what they did in those few crops that raced showed what great stallions they were.
Now, Ray, looking back to the first, Awesome Pluck was a terrific run, albeit only beaten less than half a length.
Yeah, if there's a couple of horses that we should put down in our little black books going forward, this is one of them. It was an outstanding run. He was 3 and 4 wide all the way in that two-year-old race, and he was entitled to drop out and run next to last, Sean, given the run he endured. His only previous start was a win in the bush by a margin. He's very inexperienced. That greenness showed during that race at Warwick Farm, but the winner, Manicure, came down the centre of the track to run down Brook Magic late, and Awesome Pluck, rather than tie and drop out, he went with Manicure all the way. I just think he doesn't quite know how to race yet, Sean, and it looked like he was running alongside Manicure rather than thinking, oh, I can get past her. So it was an outstanding run to finish as close as he did, and he was finishing off the race as strongly as Manicure. He's definitely a horse to follow. Jenny Graham, who's an outstanding trainer, has a really good horse here, and she also has another young two-year-old called Victory M, who's also potentially very good. So for those listeners, keep both in their black books going forward, particularly Awesome Pluck.
Yeah, well, she had that other good filly last year, unfortunately got injured, and I've gone blank on its name, missed something it was last year, Jenny, and it finished up injured.
I won the two-year-old race.
Very smart.
That's right, yeah. So,
but she's done well to get these two.
Yeah, no, she had terrific condition, and as I said, if there's one horse out of that race to follow, it's definitely Awesome Pluck. And later on in the day, Sean, I was taken by the win of Kings of Leon, just the acceleration he showed over the last 200 metres when he ran down Spending to Win. It was a gun ride from Ty Anglin. He trailed Spending to Win, the favourite, all the way on Kings of Leon. But when he eased out or off the heels of Spending to Win to let down, he did produce a brilliant turn of foot and attacked the line. And again, we're talking midwinter form, Sean. It's easy to get carried away by it, but Just to the eye, he looked like a horse who has come back in terrific order. He's very lightly raced. He's been immature. He's a rising foil. That was only his 10th start, but he's in a very, very good stable in Matthew Smith, who's had a great season as well, and he's definitely a horse going forward who's going to win more races in coming weeks.
It wasn't a huge purpose either. Purchase price. He wasn't a huge purchase price.
No,
only about 60 grand.
Yeah. Yeah, only $60,000. Francis Cook, who races so many good horses in Sydney, and Matthew Smith purchased this son of, I think it's by, is he by Schwarzier by memory?
I Am Invincible, King's Alley.
I'm Invincible, yeah, which is quite cheap for an I Am Invincible. And as I said, very, very immature in his first two seasons of racing. But his two runs back this prep, he was terrific first up at Provincials, got a long way back, flew home, and then at Warwick Farm on Saturday. That was a win of a horse who was going places.
Now, you don't often see one of Gerald Ryan's go around at 20-1, but Love's a Fantasy was in the second. Its form wasn't all that bad though, Ray.
Yeah, and Gerald did a couple of little things with the horse's gear. It's interesting, early in its career, Love's a Fantasy won on a heavy 9 track at Provincials, and Gerald always had this filly and now mare pegged as a wet tracker. But often, when the horses are starting their careers, they can beat moderate opposition on any type of game because they're superior. He now believes she's better on firmer tracks, and that was the case on Saturday. Got back onto a reasonable surface in the soft range. It wasn't quite good, but it certainly gave every horse their opportunity. It wasn't like those heavy tracks we've been used to over the last few weeks, Sean, and she returned to form with a tremendous win, and it continued a good season two for Gerald Ryan, and he thinks this mare can go on and do better things. He probably hasn't quite realised her potential yet, but a couple of changes in her gear and some different riding tactics and she produced the goods.
Sayed's an interesting horse. Huey Bowman, Chris Waller teamed up with in the third. They had a couple of runs, three runs, I think, in France at St. Cloud and Maison Lafitte, places like that. And obviously showed enough, and it's just been a good, honest horse for him.
Yeah, good, tough stayer. This was the race, of course. Huey Bowman he rode a double on Saturday and had a great day and just gave this horse the gun run. It really wasn't going to lose, was it? The favourite Collateral got back on the rails in an awkward spot, and young Nick Haywood probably missed the boat, to be fair, and was questioned by stewards. They're continuing their inquiry into that ride. I just think he got his timing all wrong, Nick, whereas Hugh Bowman had Sayed in the right position. Look, he's no star, Sayed. He hasn't got a terrific turn of foot, but what he can do is stay. And once he hit the front, it was going to take a good horse to run him down. Collateral made up a lot of ground late to finish in fourth spot, continuing his good form. But, you know, it's hard to say where a stayer like Sayed could end up, because that man, Chris Waller, trains Sayed, and he just has this knack with his overseas horses, doesn't he, Sean? Mm. And who's to say he can't continue to develop and emerge down the track? He's earned a horse who will improve with time. As I said at the start, he's no star, but he can stay, and that's a massive head start when you come to Australian racing if you can stay.
And Ray, I think Chris Waller and a lot of others now are starting to work out the international horses a lot quicker. When they first came out in the days of Colin Hayes and Robert Sanks, it was almost like give them a run or two, throw them out in the paddock, and then come back. And even to a degree, Lloyd Williams with a lot of his, he'll give them that one run in the autumn, one or two, and then tip them out. But they seem to get them going a lot better now, don't they?
Yeah, I think a lot of the trainers now have had plenty of experience with overseas horses and sort of worked them out. And that blueprint, generally give them a light preparation when they first arrive in Australia, because they often take a bit of time to acclimatise and define their racing legs, so to speak. The tempo is different down under, all those sorts of things. Come their second and third preparations, we start to see that latent staying talent emerge, don't we, Sean? And let's face it, the European stayers are invariably better than ours, and that's where that Chris Waller sort of cornered that market a decade ago. He went overseas, realised that there was opportunities in the Sydney staying races to exploit. He bought tried horses who were relatively unknown or hadn't been proven overseas, but could obviously stay. And I think that was a blueprint now that a lot of trainers follow, and that's why we see so many of the overseas imports just knock up winning our staying races.
Todd Howlett's got a lovely, honest horse in Nick's Vendetta. He took out the highway. Mikado Weir's first city winner.
Yeah, first ride. Terrific to see. And it was good for Mikado and also good for Todd, because this horse has had a few near misses in the Tab Highway. And he got the job done. Had to feel for the connections of Suncraze, though. flashing home along the inside for another second, six consecutive seconds now for Sun Craze. But again, you could argue he probably should have won, but that's not trying to take anything away from Nick's Vendetta, because he had raced particularly well in a number of tab high. I think he'd been placed in four of six prior to his breakthrough in at Warwick Farm. So good to see from Michaela. Also good to see Rachel Murray win the last on Petrosi. And Sean, this was the horse, of course, last month that gave Rachel her 100th winner on New South Wales tracks, the first female jockey to achieve the feat in this state. And it was great to see her win on Petrosi in the last race. She's now up to 108 wins for the season, which is a fantastic result for her. And I guess the star of the day, though, to me, was a couple of stars. James Cummings in the first with Manicure, very first runner for the Godolphin team. And he described it as his dream job, and that was the dream start to get away with a winner. First of many coming up, no doubt, Sean. And Hugh Bowman, he's now the Jockey's Premiership. All the momentum's with Hugh now, isn't it, Sean? Another double on Saturday takes him to win to within 1.5 wins of Brenton Abdallah, who has led the Premiership for so many months. But unfortunately, he starts a suspension now, misses the next two metropolitan meetings. And just the way Hugh Bowman is riding, when Brenton comes back, I dare say Hugh Bowman will be in front.
Yeah, and good to see Brenton with the beard, and also Ty Engdon sporting the beard. A few of the boys, Tommy Berry's having a crack as well, raising money for a great cause.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the Bears for Hope, which is an organisation which raises money and support for families who lose young ones for whatever reason in tragic circumstances. And, of course, Ty Engdon and his lovely wife Erin lost their twins a few years ago in those awful circumstances. And this is their way of trying to raise money for that fund, and they're growing a beard through the winter months. At the moment, I think Ty Engdon's the leader in the beard stakes. He's probably just in front of Brenton and Tommy. But if you go to the Bears for Hope website, you can sponsor those three riders with their beard off, if we can call it that, Sean. And it's a tremendous cause. And as I said, it's obviously one very close to Ty's heart.
Too right. And as we said, congratulations to Rachel Murray getting that other winner. That's the first female rider in New South to break 100 in the state, which is a brilliant effort.
A fantastic achievement. Yeah. And even a rider like Rachel King, is that she might run out of time, but she's in the 80s now, 83 or 84 wins for the season. So she might run out of time to get the 100. But we actually spoke to Rachel Murray yesterday morning on the Big Sports Breakfast weekend show, Sean, and she was very humble about what is a history-making feat. And she just was almost flippant about the way that a number of other jockeys, female jockeys, will achieve the 100-plus win mark in years to come because there is so much racing. But I think that devalues her achievement. She's done a tremendous job and ridden consistently well for many months to break that century.
Too right. Good on you, Ray. Good to catch up. How was it racing at Warwick Farm Saturday? You enjoy it?
I absolutely loved it. I'm a bit biased. I always love Warwick Farm. I'll tell you what, though, Sean, now that Inglis have invested so much money out there with a new selling complex and the hotel, which are very near completion, it's undergone a major facelift, so to speak, Warwick Farm. The ATC do have plans to upgrade the facilities, both in the grandstand and the training tracks out there in the next 2 to 3 years. Look, once that's done, I can see no reason why more Saturday meetings, particularly in off-carnival time, can't be run at Warwick Farm. It's a massive growth area that's southwest of Sydney, a huge population base, and promoted right, et cetera. I can see that becoming a little, a progressive race course. And why not have more Saturday meetings out there? It was a great change of pace. And, well, I love Warwick Farm anyway, Sean, so I'm probably a bit biased.
Right. Like Santa came early for you. Christmas in July. There you go. Good on you, Ray. Good to catch up. We'll talk soon.
All of this, Sean.
Thanks, Ray. Ray Thomas.